message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
As you're seated, let me encourage you to turn to Psalm chapter 67 this morning. Psalm 67, as we are beginning this month in our missions, but we're still connected to our series on the church. Missions is definitely something that we as a church, that we do and that we are involved in. We've been learning different components of what it means to be a part of the church. And this month, as I share with you beginning, we'll be looking at the different aspects of missions and leading up to Easter. What a great opportunity we have just a few weeks from now that we will gather under the tent for our Easter time. And you'll hear more about that at the end of our service this morning, of how you can be praying and planning for our time of Easter. This morning, this text is for one prime reason. As we look at this word, this text's main theme teaches us that God blesses us as His people, not for our sake, but He blesses His people for the sake of His renown among all peoples. We should not think that the resources that we have has just been because we have had good ingenuity or a good education or hard work. Certainly there's things that you can get those things by, but what I want you to understand that according to Psalm 67, that when the people of God are blessed, it's for one purpose. And that is so that God's name can be known. Certainly we have things in this life that we have to take care of and bills that we have to pay and retirement that you may set aside. But what I want you to think this morning, if you don't have this mentality, that as a believer, the things that you have, whether it is your physical blessing of good health or whether it is financial blessing or whatever, it's a marital blessing, all that you have has been granted to you so that His name could be known. Even through your marriage. Paul says in Ephesians that the marriage is a picture of Christ to the church. So even the blessing of your marriage is so that people could see Christ of how the husband loves the wife. So even if you say, well, Byron, I don't make enough money so God could use me to make a blessing to the nations. Let me just take you around the world on a trip. And you come back and you realize you are a king and a queen and what you have is far beyond what people have. You know, back in 2007 and 2008, we as a church, we went to Guatemala and we built houses for people. And you gave graciously and we built different numbers of houses. And we built a 12 by 12 metal roof house, metal sides, 10 with a slab. And that was moving people from cornstalk houses to this. And we call that an outhouse and a little storage building. And you realize we are blessed. We are a blessed people. And I want you to be encouraged this morning and be reminded that what you have, what little you have, what much that you have, needs to be in the perspective. It's not saying, okay, what's left do I need to give to God? The right perspective is to say, okay, this is all God's. And what do I need to do with it? Even your home, your vehicles, everything. It is for the Lord. I tell you just a story to put this in perspective. Back in January of 2005, I bought my truck. It was a used truck. And I said, okay, Lord, this is yours. So August came and Katrina happened. And thank God that I had that because I haul stuff all the time. But I'll never forget the 3 days after the storm, I came back. And as you know how it was, like a bombshell went off everywhere. And I'm going down roads and this is what I hear. And that's Lamb scraping my truck. I said, Lord, I said it was yours, so to God be the glory for scratches and all. They're still on my truck. So the Lord taught me very quickly, you know, you say this is yours, He's going to use it. But what I want you to understand is that that's just the perspective that we have to have. We're stingy with stuff, aren't we? We are. And I long for us as a church that we are just gracious with our lives, our time, our talents, our money, our resources for the sake of His name. For right here in Lacombe, right here on the North Shore, and right where Derek and Jody are. This month of missions, we have an opportunity that I want to encourage you with from the beginning, even as we launch into this. We have this one month that we set aside that we challenge you as a church to pray, what does God want us to give above and beyond what our tithes normally are? I don't beg you for money. That's not my job. But I want to challenge you that just what where he is and his family is because churches throughout our nation, Southern Baptist Church, the denomination that we're a part of, give graciously to support missionaries. And they don't have to go around and do fundraising. They can go and they can serve, and when they come home, they can rest and share. They don't have to go around fundraising. So I just want to challenge you this month to say, Lord, what is it you want us to give above and beyond what we normally give? And pray and seek God. You have this month to do so. But let me encourage you also that you understand what we do as a church. Every month, we set aside 11% of everything that's given, and that goes out towards missions every month. So we're not asking you as a church just to give so we pocket it. We want to bless. We want to give. We give to missionaries who cross the world. We give locally right here to missions, and we give stuff to the state and to North America. Why? Because we want this psalm right here to come to life for you. I want you to understand something. We want to be a church that has our eyes set upon God, make your glory known through us and through this church. So I pray that as you see this, you may say, Pastor, it's not really that urgent, is it? Let me just kind of give you one statistic this morning to set the urgency. There's approximately 7 billion people in the world today. I don't know how they don't have a tally that they're going around. Certainly they just kind of give an estimation, maybe less, a little bit more. But of that, there's a great estimation of both in the Joshua Project and the IMB that says there's approximately 2.9 to 3 billion people out of that number who've never heard the name of Jesus that we just sang about this morning. Is that a reality picture for you? Now that's hard for you to fathom because some of you in this room have been hearing the name of Jesus while you were even in the womb. And all the way through the time of growing up in church and Sunday school, and probably many of us have 3 or 4 Bibles at home, there's places in this world where they don't have that. I want you to be encouraged and challenged this morning that when you go to your job at 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or 8 to 10 or whatever it may be, God is blessing you for the sake of His name. Be known. Let's read the text this morning, Psalm 67. This is actually going to be our scripture psalm for this month. Last month we memorized Psalm 100. January we memorized Psalm 1. I pray that you're putting the word in your heart. Let me just encourage you to do this, that you're memorizing the word of God as we go through this psalm today. If we have time to finish it today, if not, we'll finish it next week. But that you put this word in your heart and that you begin to think, God, may this be me. May this be us as a church. So read aloud with me this morning as I lead us in this reading. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Now, do y'all know what an exclamation point is? Are you with me this morning from the beginning? That means that you say it with emphasis. So when the psalmist says, let all the peoples praise You, y'all say it monotone. He's saying, let them praise You, God. He's longing for the peoples of the world to praise God. Now let me just say something to you. There's a little background about this psalm here. There's debate whether it's before the exile or after the exile. That's the point of obvious that they can't conclude. But what they can conclude is this psalm was most likely used as the church or the people of Israel were getting to leave their temple worship. Put that in perspective. So as they're getting ready to leave the temple worship, they're saying, God, we want You to be gracious to us. So as we're going out, we want You to bless the nations through us. It was a mindset they wanted them to have. Now, did the Israelites get this right? Obviously, they didn't get it all right. But obviously, it's in the Word of God that there were some who understood possibly that there was always a remnant. Was there not throughout the cup? Yes, there was. So there was always some who possibly got it to understand we want God to bless the nations through us. So think about that. Even as you're sitting here this morning, I'm preaching through this, but as we leave, that's what we're saying. God, use us as we leave this place. So obviously, we're lifting His name up in here this morning. We've sung about His name. We're preaching about His name. But as we leave here, that's when you've got to proclaim His name through your life, through your witness, through your lips. And that's what we're about this morning. Let's look at this psalm here this morning. We can kind of give you a structure of what we're going to look at. This psalm breaks down in four particular parts, and that's how we're going to study it this morning. The first one is the request for God's blessing. That's in verse 1. We're going to see that there's a request for God's blessing. Let me go ahead and give you the outline here. The second is in verse 2. It's the reason for God's blessing. And then we're going to see in verse 3, which is the result of God's way being known. That's verse 3 through verse 5. And then finally in verse 6 and 7, there's a final request. So you have the request, you have the reason for that request for God's blessing. There's a result of what happens, and there's one final request at the end. So let's study the Word of God together this morning. Let's look at verse 1 again. The request for God's blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. It's interesting in this passage of Scripture that this actually is the blessing that was given by Aaron to the people of Israel. Take this down. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through verse 27. It was what God told Moses. God said to Moses, Moses, tell Aaron, this is what I want you to pray over my people. And as Aaron prayed over those people, the Word says that God said, and then I will bless them. Now, there's one thing that's missing out of this particular prayer of blessing. In that blessing, it would be the very end of that, and the peace of God will be with you. Does that mean that they're intentionally forgetting this? You need to understand something about the Israelites. Even when Jesus quotes things from the cross, He's beginning certain psalms with a phrase. The Israelites knew when they would quote a certain portion of it, it would be representative of the whole thing. So here, when the worshipers are saying together, and notice something, it's not just one person praying a blessing over all of them. They're saying it together. God, we need you to bless all of us. There's a request that's being made here. I think that what's been implied here, too, is that they know that the peace of God comes along with this blessed prayer as well and request. But let's look at this. Look at this together. Let's see what is this blessing that is here. God, be gracious to us. That's kind of the main request. God, we want you to be gracious to us. And one of the two things that they're asking to be gracious for, or asking God to be gracious to them, they want to be blessed, and they want His face of God to shine upon them. Now, we're not going to just get guessing here, but let's find out exactly what is God's blessing here. But as we do this, let me just point out something to you of some technical words that's important for you to understand. Notice the first word in verse 1. May God be gracious. But contrast that to verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 7. Notice the prayer for themselves is, God, may you be gracious to us. But notice in verse 3, let the peoples praise you. Verse 4, let the nations be glad. Verse 5, let the peoples praise you. Verse 7, let all the ends of the earth fear Him. What's the difference? In the Hebrew here, the word let is actually in a stronger request than may. What's that mean? Certainly they want to be blessed, but even beyond, if God chose not even to bless them, they want the nations to know God. Amen. So you get that? Even if God chose not to bless us according to these particular ways, the request is, God, we still want the nations to know you. But hear this though. What is God's blessing? Because God has definitely blessed you. You were here. You got here in a car. You got here. You have good health. You have ears to hear. You have eyes to see. You had a heart that's beating. You had breath to sing. You're blessed this morning. You have clothes to wear. You had something to eat this morning. Your stomach is full. You're blessed this morning. There's lots of ways that we could go on and say God bless us. How has God blessed us as a church? God has blessed us as a worshiping congregation. God has blessed us with Christ-centered worship. God has blessed us with teachers who teach the Word. God's blessed us with leadership, with people who love the Lord and love the Word and love the people. God's blessed us with a church who loves each other and cares for each other. God has blessed us. When we look at the text and say, what is it here that God's blessing is that they're requesting here? Let me tell you something that happens in our today's culture. A lot of people want the blessing, but don't want the God with the blessing. Oh, God, just give me stuff. And we treat God as if He's just a conduit to get it. And then when we get it, what do we do with Him? He just kind of puts to the side. We see God like a Santa Claus. Let's go sit on His lap and ask what we can get from Him. Listen, that's not the request. Understand something, that the Israelites, when they're praying this, they know that they're not just asking for stuff. They want Him as well. They want God, because they know if they have God, then the blessings are with God. They don't want just a byproduct. And that's what I want to say to you this morning. Listen, we need to ask God that we can just be close to Him, just like Psalm 100. May we come into His presence. May we get close to God. May we go beyond that gates and go beyond the courts. We have the presence of God because the temple veil has been gone through the blood of the cross because of Christ on the cross. We have the privilege to do that. Now we're asking God to be gracious to us so He can bless us. Listen, His blessing is not just getting riches. Okay, let's not make sure we don't go there. It's not that we're asking God bless us so we can get more money just so we can go get something. Certainly God may choose to do so. Riches in itself is not wrong. It's what you do with that that is wrong. But listen to the New Testament parameters here. Matthew 6:33, when Jesus is giving the disciples how they're supposed to pray about their clothing, about their shelter, and about their food, Jesus said, seek first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the proper perspective by Jesus Himself is saying, seek Me. This is what I think is being said here in the Psalm. God, be gracious to us. They knew that they needed Him. Listen, if anybody should get it and understand it was the Israelites. Think about their history. Oh God, we want You. We love You. God would bless them. And then they would revel in their blessings and they forget the God of the blessings. And what would God do? Send another nation to come in and would get their attention, put them in judgment. And then they would be begging God for forgiveness, begging God for healing. God, please save us. God, please forgive us. They would have God. God would bless them again. And guess what happened? Same cycle over and over again. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, and may God supply every need of yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus' prayer Himself, give us this day our monthly prayer, monthly bread. God, give us a stockpile. It was the needs that we have. So I want you to understand something. We're asking God to be gracious to us and bless us. Listen, we could probably safely say that as a nation, God has blessed us in our history tremendously. And I think we're thwarting that blessing and understanding where that blessing has come from. And I think it's because of that blessing that America has been one of the greatest mission-sending countries in the world to send missionaries out. Let's define what this blessing is. Turn to Deuteronomy. Keep your finger in Psalm 67. We're going to be looking at several passages in Deuteronomy to understand this passage in context to the Israelites. Look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through verse 14. This entire chapter really is the comparison, if you will, or contrast to God's blessing to the curse if the people are disobedient of those blessings. There's stipulations that is here. We understand that God doesn't just choose to bless you and just pour it out and you get to live the way you want to. It doesn't work that way. And this passage of Scripture clearly shows here of this standard of God blessing them and the purpose of if they are blessed, what people will say. Look at verse 1. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Notice the condition that is there. If you obey. Verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Is there anything missing here? I mean, to the point of them even making bread. Amen. That He's saying, we're going to bless you. If you're obedient, I'm going to bless you. To their flock, to their womb, to everything that when they're going out, when they're coming in, when they're in the city, when they're in the house, they would be blessed by God. Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a people, holy to Himself, as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. And listen, here's the reason of the blessing. Verse 10, and all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. It's not to get a blessing so you can brag and say, my barn is full. And so the world can say, their God is good. Verse 11, and the Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the fruit of your womb. It just keeps getting good. And then the fruit of your livestock and the fruit of your ground within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods or serve them. So in Psalm 67, when the peoples are leaving, they're saying, God, be gracious to us and bless us. It wasn't some abstract blessing that they're praying for. They understood what the Lord had told them some years before. That if they were obedient, God was going to bless them. And it was an understanding that in their blessing that the nations would know their God. Now let's be careful here. Is there a guarantee that if every person is following God perfectly that you're going to have just abundance and abundance of stuff? Because if that was the case, everybody's signing up for God. I'm going to be a Christian because if I do, I'm going to get stuff. Listen, this was a covenantal promise for these people. Let's make sure we understand something. God was doing something in choosing a people so the world would know that there was a God. We cannot simply plug and play and say, so guess what? Because I'm in covenant with God, I'm guaranteed to get all this stuff. Because there's people right here in this room who've lost jobs, who's lost family members and had great difficulty. Does that mean that they're not in the covenant of God through Jesus Christ? No. But you have God. And so we need to understand something, that when they're praying this, they understood it was something that God had promised to them to bless them so that people could know. Now, God has blessed us and He blesses us in various ways. God blesses some financially. God chooses to do something differently for other people. But we can still say, God, we want you to bless us. Give us a blessing so that we can use whatever it is that He gives us. Blessing of time, blessing of health, or blessing of money, or whatever it may be. That we can still say in Psalm 67, God, be gracious to us and bless us for the sake of your name. Let me say something to you, though. This blessing was contingent upon their obedience. Are you still there in Deuteronomy 28? Go to verse 15. God doesn't play. Verse 15, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all His commandments and His statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground. The increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. Do you recognize that's the exact opposite of what He said in verse 1 through verse 6? God is longing for His name to not be mocked, to be upheld. He longs for His name to be glorified and exalted and for people to say, oh, I'm a follower of God and you live the way you want to. Listen to me. If you're truly in Christ and you choose to live in sin, judgment will come. Discipline will come. Why? Because of this right here. He longs for you to exalt His name. So we understand the purpose of Him blessing us is for the fact that He can make His name known. Now go back again to Psalm 67. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy because we're going to go back there again. But back to verse 1 when He said, be gracious and bless us. It is the fact that we're longing for Him to provide what we need But notice what he says here also, the other part of being gracious is that his face to shine upon us. And this phrase is a metaphorical usage here. We really don't have a lamp that's on your face in the morning or throughout the day, but this phrase literally means to have the favor of God upon the people. The people knew that when God's face was not on them, it was not good. And when God's face was shown to them, it was gracious and bountiful to them. Let me just show you a couple of passages to prove this point. You're in Psalms. Let's just look at one. Psalm 44. Just turn back to your left a little bit. Psalm 44, verse 1 through 8. To see what happens when God's face was upon His people. Psalm 44, verse 1 through verse 8. Now this is in the context of them going to war and what they say if God's face was upon them and if His face was not upon them. Verse 1, O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your face. There it is. Your face. For you delighted in them, for you are my king, O Jacob. Ordained salvation for Jacob, though we push down our foes. Through your name we tread down those who rise up against us. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes, and have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Did you see it there in verse 3? But your right hand and your arm and the light of your face. For you to lie to them. They understood. It wasn't by their own strength. Did they sit home in the battle? No, they had to go into the battle, but they understood that God's face, His favor, was upon them. Now let's see the contrast of that. Go back to with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. I want you to keep your finger there in Deuteronomy. We're going to go back and forth to that one some this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And look at verse 14 through verse 18. This is context when Joshua is commanded to lead Israel. And there's a warning that's given to him that he doesn't want God's face to not be on him. There's a warning that he doesn't want His face to be turned away from His people. Look at verse 14. Deuteronomy 31. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting that I may commission him. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, you're about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise and whore after their foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering, and they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, Have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. Now let's put this in context. Psalm 67, they're leaving the temple to worship. And in the back of their mind, they know that if this has been after the exile, or even if it's before exile, their nation has gone through much upheaval. Their nation has gone through many times when God's face has not been on them, but has been absent. Why? Because of their disobedience. So when they're saying, God, be gracious to us and bless us and shine your face upon us, they knew that without God, they were going to fail. Now listen to me. In the context of this psalm that we're going to see in just verse 2, how in the world is it possible to make His name known when people are not in obedience and in the favor and the face of God? It's not possible. If God is going to use us, can God use other people? Certainly He can. But if we long for God to use us, that's the question that I'm asking us. But if we want for God to use us, then we must be His people, that we are living in the light of His blessing and the light of His favor of His face. Are you with me? If we say, God, we want you to use First Baptist of Lacombe to reach the nations, to reach our neighborhood, to reach this North Shore, to reach this region, then we have to say, okay, I want to make certain that I'm living in light of the blessing of God and the favor of God so God can use me in my workplace, in my neighborhood, and across this region and across the world. That's the context. Now, look at Psalm 67 again. That's the request that he's asking for. Without God's favor, we're hopeless. The second point that is here in verse 2 is the reason for God's blessing that I have hinted at over and over. Look at verse 2 that gives us the reason for this prayer. Verse 2. Now, before you even get there, do you notice a little word there that says Selah? That was used in their worship to mean, let's stop and let's think about the goodness of what has already been said. Meaning, let's stop and think about how God's blessed us already. Let's stop and remember how God shone His face to us. Let's stop and think about how God has turned His face against us. How about you? Can you look at your own life right now and say, I can know when I wasn't walking in obedience and God disciplined me? Can you say, I knew when I was walking with God that God showed me favor? Can you say, I can know these are the ways that God has blessed me and I've been selfish with these things? Or can you say, these are things I know that God has given me and graciously I want to give those to others? This is the Selah moment. Stop and consider the blessing of God, church. What's the reason for that? Verse 2. That your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations. Now listen, there's two things in this verse that he's asking to be known. His purpose is that they be known. You see it in verse 2? But there's two aspects that the psalmist is asking that to be known. The first one is God's way. And the second one is God's saving power. You see that in the text? So here's the purpose. We're praying for God's blessing for these two things, that God's way and God's saving power will be known among the nations. Well, first of all, let's talk about what it means to know in the Hebrew mindset. To know in the Hebrew mindset was not just simply to have cognitive information. To know in the Hebrew mindset was to be experiential in that understanding. A lot of people can say they know God. Our world is a religious culture. There's a lot of people who say they know God or talk about God. Even cults talk about God, but they don't know God through Christ. And so here, when the psalmist is saying, we want your way to be known, it wasn't just so they could give them some tablet of commandments that they could know them. They wanted them to know them. They wanted them to know God. They wanted to experience God. They wanted to understand God. Because even people would see that these people were offering sacrifices and worshiping, but there were only some who would come, who would, as the Bible would call them in the Old Testament, the sojourners. Or the foreigners who would come through and understand that this God was God. Remember, when they left Egypt, they weren't leaving by themselves. Did you know that? That there were some Egyptians who came with them because they said, their God is God. You would think after 10 plagues and all the things that they went through that everyone would say, this God must be real. But their hearts were hard and only some said, this God is God. And so they left with them and they got to participate in the blessing of God. This is the point. They had the way known to them. God's saving power known to them. That's what he's saying here. So the know here is not just cognitive. Folks, listen, I've talked to many people and they say they know God. I've talked to many people who said that they know the Bible. But not really know God. So what is the way? Let's understand here. What's the way that we want people to know? What is God's way? Let me just kind of define it for you, then we're going to look at the text to understand it. God's way is in a reference to God's administration or His standards or His guidelines. That we want God's standards to be known. We want God's guidelines to be known. We want God's commandments and His truth to be known. Not our way, not their way, but God's way. Look with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Listen, if you start espousing your way, you're going to mess it up. But it's only God's way that's right. Now listen, sometimes God's way may not necessarily be liked by us, correct? There are certain things that we don't necessarily like, because not necessarily our preference, but it's God's way and it's the right way. It's the best way. It's His way because He knows what's right. It's just like parents coming to, our children coming to parents, Daddy or Mommy, I want this. And you say no. And they say, why? Because it's the best way. It's the right way. It's what's good for you. Mama, can I have ice cream for breakfast? Mama, can I have ice cream for lunch? Mama, can I have ice cream for supper? Can I have it snack in between? Can I have it at breakfast when I rise up? No! It's not the best way because when I take my kids to Dr. Pusson, he's not going to like me very much. Right, Dr. Pusson? Amen. You got sugar bugs all over your teeth. This is what we're saying. But listen to me. Here's the thing. Before we came to Christ by the drawing of the Holy Spirit, we thought our way was good. But it was only, as I preached 3 weeks ago from 2 Corinthians 3, that when the gospel is proclaimed that the veil gets lifted. Prior to that, I thought my way was the best way. So when people are in their cultic routine and traditions and sacrifices and religiosity, they think their way is right. So this is what the psalmist is saying. We pray, God, you be gracious to us and bless us that your way may be known to them. Look at Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. I'm in numbers. That won't do me any good. Deuteronomy 4. I was looking down there and counting numbers. I'm thinking, that's not what I read. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I'm teaching you and do them. Now, you notice the difference here? That's what I'm talking about. That's the difference. Everybody honing in? You listening? That's the difference between knowing about them and knowing God. Knowing something and living them and doing them. That I am teaching you and do them that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Bel Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. I just want you to see something here, folks. God's heart was for all nations from the beginning. It's right here. So that your heart will be for all the peoples who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I have set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Listen, make them known to your children and your children's children. Amen. This is what the psalmist is praying for in Psalm 67. Lord, this is the way we want to be known among the nations, because God says through Moses, in doing them, you live. You ever had someone say to you, whether it's a child or grandchild, that your rules are just too strict? I can't do anything. You have me bound here and I can't do anything. Has anybody ever been thankful for guardrails across bridges? I can, by testimony, thank you, Jesus, over a huge river when I was a teenager, and a camper coming by me on two lanes that should have been for one, and he's going by me and I'm bumping the guardrail. I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, because I'll be swimming here pretty soon. And I'm bumping the guardrail. I'm thank God for regulation, because I thank God that He gave someone wisdom and knowledge to know how to give someone a civil engineering degree to build that thing for my safety. Guardrails are that rules and that statute is for our good. And in them we live, because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't there. Are you with me? You understand? So God's rules, we say, we want the people to know because they think they're living, but they're not really alive. You thought you were living until you came to Christ, and then you knew you were dead. This is what it is. Is anybody in the house this morning? Are you with me this morning? This is what Psalm 67 is saying. God, we want your way to be known. Listen, it's not out of pride or out of arrogance that we go and we say, we've got it all figured out. It's only by God's grace that we understand the way. Now we say, ultimately, this was fulfilled in the cross. Because Jesus says, I am the what? The way. We're not just wanting to just make the commandments of God known. Listen, those were fulfilled in Christ. And He's the way. It's through Him. Now, let me just give you a text so you can understand the contrast. When people are in their own way, Proverbs 16, verse 25, the Bible says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. Man's way, the nation's way, your neighbor's way, outside of God's way is death. It may seem right, but it's not right. We'll go back to Psalm 67. We notice that the first thing that he's asking for is that God's way would be known on the earth. The second one is God's saving power among all the nations. We could translate this also as God's salvation. May God's salvation be known among all nations. How has God saved the Israelites at this point? How has God's saving power been demonstrated at this point? Would you imagine to me, pretend that we are the Israelites, and the 10 plagues have happened, and God has put it on the heart of the Egyptians to bless the Israelites with wealth. Give them silver and give them gold before you leave. Now that's just mind-boggling, is it not? It was that easy. Go to them and ask for silver and gold, and they gave it to them. And God blessed them, God's saving power. And then they get ready to leave. And they get to the Red Sea. Pharaoh changes his mind and they're captured. And they turn around, Moses, what are we going to do? And what does God do? Y'all got to help me this morning. The waters get parted and God's saving power. Even before the waters, what does God do? A wall of fire separates the Egyptian army from the Israelites. All the way to the point when the Israelites are about to get across, it comes down and they can see just a little bit of them, just enough to lure the Egyptians in, into that sea. But guess what? The ground's not dry anymore. Now, if you don't tell me that's not a saving power of God, He takes something that was mucky and dries it so they can get across, and then all of a sudden it becomes mucky again. And then the Egyptians are in there and the sea comes over. God's saving power was at hand. They get in the wilderness. They have nothing to eat. God brings manna and then He sends quail and then their clothes never wear out for 40 years. If Nike was around, they'd be bankrupt. Imagine 40 years. I can't even last a year in a pair of shoes. God's saving power has been demonstrated to these people. But guess what? Even in the midst of that, they were murmuring and complaining. After they get out of the wilderness and God's about to give leadership to Joshua, Joshua takes over, Moses dies. They get to the Jordan River. Guess what has to happen? The Jordan River has to split. And the people go through again. And they go across. The Israelite nation is taken captive in 722. The nation of Judah lasts until 586. They're in captivity in Babylonia. And then the Persian power takes over and a man named Cyrus comes into power. And he says, you can go back and build your temple again and worship your God. Ezra goes with them, helps build the temple. Nehemiah comes later and helps rebuild the wall. And the people are back in Jerusalem again. So when they're saying, God, we want your saving power to be known, they weren't speaking about it in just some loose term that was just some good term they put down there. They knew the power of God. Now let's put that into our own life. There's ways that God's power has been manifested in your own life. Maybe a Red Sea hasn't been split. Maybe manna hasn't been given, but God's power has been demonstrated to you. If we translate it as God's salvation among all nations, if you have been bought by Christ and you are His child, you have something to celebrate to the nations. Some of you in this room have been saved from religion. Some of you in this room have been saved from addictions. Some of you in this room have been saved from morality. But God's saving power saved you. And that's what we're saying. God, we want that to be known. Listen, it's not about us leaving a mark for people to know us. It's not about going and our logo is somewhere else so people can say, that church. It's about the name of God being exalted high. That's what is fueling that prayer in verse 1. It's what's fueling my prayer for us as a church. God bless us. Certainly pour out your blessings upon us. Save people so that we can make your name known to this region and to the world. God's heart's desire was from the beginning. Remember when God blessed Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 through 3, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curse you I will be cursed, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6, I will give you, Israel, as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Listen to me. God's light will go. It will. Either with us or without us. I want to be in the with department. I want to be the church that God says, that's a place that's hungry for me. That's a worshiping church. That's a useful church that loves the Lord and He can use us. What a great joy it is to think about the places where our missionaries are now. The place where Derek and Jody are in Southeast Asia. The place where Shane and Jenny are in Southeast Asia. The place where Ron and Linda DeMoss are up in Canada. Where Matt and Lauren Zwitt are up in Seattle. What a great way that God has made His people spread out for the sake of His name. And although you sit here and you have a residence in Lacombe or Abita or Covington or Slidell or Mandeville, listen, we are connected and we're holding the rope and we're praying for them and interceding on our behalf. Listen, God has not called you to be comfortable. He's called us to live for Him. You say, well, I'm 80. I can't do much. Yes, you can. In ripe old age, as the psalmist says. Listen, I've said to you, I don't want to retire. I won't retire. You're going to have to roll me out of this place and put me in a chair and put a seatbelt on me to make me not do anything. Because I want to do for the Lord until my dying breath. That needs to be our heart. God, use me till you can't use me anymore. This is Psalm 67. Look at it again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let me tell you one result and we'll finish this next week. What is the result when God's way and rule is known? What is the result when God's saving power is known? The peoples will praise God. Verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let them praise you. That's what He's saying. God, we don't want the blessing for ourselves. We don't want your face to shine upon us just for us. We want you to bless us so the nations can praise you. The psalmist says another time that their idols, they have eyes but they see not, they have mouths but not speak, ears but they don't hear, hands that they do not move. Why? We serve a God that has eyes that see, ears that hear, and we know that He's a gracious God. This is what we want them to know. They're serving a lifeless, false God, but God is good. This is like Psalm 100. Know that the Lord, He is God. Folks, I long for us to have a heart that's this way. That God would change our perspective and our mindset. That we would say, God, Change my outlook. Change my life. Change my perspective. Change my motive. Change my thinking when I wake up and when I rise. God will do this. Because in Revelation 7, He promises there's going to be someone from every tribe and tongue. Let's turn there this morning. I want to give this to you as a closing challenge. Look at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, verse 9 through 12. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." From every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every language. Folks, God is going to bring His people to Himself. He can do it with us. Does He have to use us? No. But He's chosen to use the church as a means to make His name known. This is why I connected this back to worship some few weeks ago in John 4 when Jesus says, "And God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth." A true worshiping church will be a going church and it'll be a proclaiming church. Listen, John Piper made this statement right. Missions exist because worship doesn't. We do missions for the sake of worship. Not to come back and say we built 8 houses or 12 houses or did so much street evangelism. It is because we long for God's name to be known in Southeast Asia and up in Canada and out in Seattle and to all the ends of the world. Do I believe in God's sovereign hand? I certainly do. But I also know He said for us to go and to proclaim His name. And also know that Psalm 67 was praying that God's name could be known. Guess what? It's time to not be lazy. It's time to do. It's time to give. It's time to go. It's time to say, "God, what do You need to do with my time, my resources, and my physical well-being? God, may I be a sacrifice that You can use. God, can You use our church for the sake of Your name among the nations?" Absolutely. We don't know to whom that we may share the gospel with, even this very community, that God may raise up to send to some people group and some language somewhere else. That's why we must be faithful. To give, and to go, and to share. So I ask you this morning, how are you using your time and your resources that God has blessed you with right now in 2013? Certainly some of you may be limited of what you're able to do. As one of my pastors used to say, it's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. It's not saying that this person gave X, so therefore you must do it. It's laying before the Lord and say, "God, we want gifts for Your namesake." And that's not just during the month of missions, that's just in our regular giving that we say we give for You. In just a few weeks, we'll have Easter. How can you be thinking about God's namesake for Easter? Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Over the next 4 weeks, I want to challenge you. Someone that you may know that's lost, you may be praying for. Someone that you've not engaged yet, that you would say over the next 4 weeks, "I want to commit to praying for them every day," and that God would give you an opportunity to speak the gospel to them and invite them to come worship the Lord with you. That you're praying for them, making some intentional effort to make God's name known. Listen, if God's going to be faithful to use us elsewhere, we've got to be faithful in the present to where we are. So be faithful to make His name known on your street and in your workplace. and in your family. Let me ask this one last question. The psalmist prayed that God's way would be known so that God could be glorified. Does your walk of the way point to Jesus? Or is the way that you walk defame His name? You understand my question? If we're praying for God's way to be known, then that means we must live His way. Believer, the nations will come not just by proclaiming, although that is what we must do. We as a church are not just proclaiming Jesus, we live Jesus. And so through that, that may God may bring many people to Himself. I challenge you this morning that you would consider your life, regardless of your age, whether you are 6, you're 12, you're 22, 35, 47, 69, 87. You're not done until God calls you home. I don't care if you've got arthritis, bursitis, rheumatoid arthritis, or whatever it is that you have. As long as you have breath and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you do something for the sake of His name. You can moan and groan, or you can moan and groan and do something for the Lord at the same time. And do it for His name's sake. Folks, I say this with all seriousness. I firmly believe that God will continue to bless His people when we're focused on making His name known and not focused on ourselves. I long that God will continue to grow this congregation for the sake of His name. Let's pray. Father, You have truly blessed us as a church. For those in this room that You have redeemed, we are blessed. Oh God, it is my heart's desire as the shepherd of this sheep, of Psalm 67:1. God, be gracious to us. And make Your face shine upon us, that Your way may be known and Your saving power to all peoples. Father, I know that there are people in this room that's prone in this very moment to start making excuses of why they can't do certain things or give certain things. Oh God, would You take our hearts and make us unselfish. Make us gracious for the sake of Your name. Lord, I pray for this group that's here this morning, for our people who aren't here today, that You would make it very clear to us how we can be useful for You in this month of missions, that You would challenge us to give sacrificially for the people that Derek and Jody are ministering to, the people that Shane and Jenny are ministering to, the people that Ron and Linda are serving, and the people that Matt and Lauren are serving. Lord, I pray also in this for this people right here in front of me this morning. If there are people in this very room this morning that do not know of Your saving power, that do not know of Your way, that they have heard about it, they've even read about it, but have not experienced the saving power through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, God, would You enable them to have faith to believe so that You may save them from their sin and bring them into Your kingdom. And Father, I pray for us as believers that we would be unashamed, unapologetic. We have the saving power to proclaim, You've redeemed us. May we make it known. Be glorified in this moment, in this commitment time. In Christ's name we pray. As we stand and as we sing, there'll be ministers here to pray with you, you can come. Whatever need you may have this morning, we're here to pray with you that you respond as the Spirit has led.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.